If you would this morning, go with me in God's Word to Matthew chapter number 14. Matthew chapter number 14, and we're going to look at a very famous passage of Scripture, the only miracle that's recorded in all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and it's the feeding of the 5,000. Feeding of the 5,000. I'll just get it out there right at the very beginning. There's some people who want to somehow manage explaining away the miracles and the miracle of Jesus feeding the 5,000. I'll just tell you how it happened. Some little kid had his lunch. Five loaves. They were probably pocket loaves, small little pieces of bread. Five loaves. I'm sorry. What is it? I promise I've studied. Five loaves and three little fish. You imagine something bigger than a sardine, you're probably imagining too big. But even if it was a great big old catfish, I believe God fed 5,000 men, their wives in addition, their wives and children, with five loaves and two fishes. There we go. I'll get those numbers straight here in a second. I'm sure, I promise you, I studied. If you take your Bibles and go with me and look at this miracle, we'll begin reading in verse number 12. And just a little bit of history of what's going on in context. Jesus has just found out that John the Baptist has been murdered by Herod. And John's disciples do exactly what any of us should do in a time of great distress. The Bible says in verse number 12, his disciples, John's disciples, came and took up the body of John the Baptist and buried it and went and told Jesus. And they went and told Jesus. This is not the message, but it's so important. When your heart's overwhelmed and you're burdened, you've lost something, you need something, you're in trouble, I can tell Jesus all of my troubles, and he cares. And they went and told Jesus, and I know for a fact they went and told Jesus and walked away encouraged, because God has an ability and power in your life to help you in your time of need, and he wants to. Look what the Bible says in verse number 13. When Jesus heard of it, the death of John the Baptist, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, "This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals." But Jesus said unto them, "They need not depart. Give ye them to eat." And they say unto him, "We have here but five loaves and two fishes." He said, "Bring them hither to me." And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and took the five loaves and the two fishes. And looking up to heaven, he blessed and brake and gave the loaves to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up of the fragments that remained 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, beside women and children. Now, this story is familiar to most of us. And if it's not familiar to you, I want to tell it to you today. It's an exciting thing that's going on here in the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of his greatest miracles. Every miracle is a miracle. And it's great. All of them are. But Jesus did something quite amazing here, and before a great multitude of people. And everybody in the audience got to partake in the miracle that Jesus did. Now, here's how it goes. Jesus has just finished a counseling session with John the Baptist's disciples. He knows what's going on and happened with John the Baptist. In another place of Scripture, he understood in his human state that he needed some rest. The disciples, as we put the timeline together, this passage of Scripture, the disciples have just got home from a mission trip. And guess what they were? Tired. How many of you just recently got home from a mission trip? Did you raise your hand? How many of those same people, when you got home, you were tired? That's how it works, isn't it? They were wore out. They were tired. And Jesus, understanding the human need for rest, but also prepared to teach a valuable lesson, he looks at his disciples and he says, guys, let's get on this boat and let's go to a desert place where there's not a bunch of people and separate ourselves and get a little rest. Well, I can just see Jesus and his disciples as they get on that boat and they're like, wow, we're wore out. Boy, God's been doing some great things, and Jesus just finished teaching these parables, and we just got back from our missions trip, and God's doing some great things, but boy, it sure is nice to get a little rest. It sure is nice to get a little rest, but their plans change. Because while Jesus and his disciples took the boat to a desert place, the people, the multitude, got word that where Jesus was going and knew where that boat was going. And the Bible says they went on foot and found him. They found Jesus. And when Jesus saw them, tired, heavy laden, the Bible says that he looked on them with great disdain and was annoyed by them. Not at all. He saw these people with all their needs and errors and problems, and he's just aggravated that I can't even get a day off. No, not at all. The Bible says that Jesus looked at them and said he was moved with compassion. I mean, inside of him said, oh, I need to help these people. He was moved with compassion. Now, the disciples, they weren't so spiritual. As a matter of fact, they settled in for a little while, and Jesus did the preaching and teaching, and it came evening time, and everybody's hungry. What do? Here's what the disciples said. The disciples looked at the situation, and the Bible says in verse 15, when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, this is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away. What did the disciples want Jesus to do? Send them away. We do not have what they need. Send them away. What was Jesus' answer to that? The Bible says in verse 16, Jesus said to them, they need not depart. Give ye them to eat. What did the disciples say? The disciples, with an earthly mindset, looking at the current situation, they look at and they go to Jesus. They said, it's late. They're ill-prepared. They're hungry. Send them away. And Jesus says, whoa, hang on just a minute. They need not depart. And he looks at his disciples and he says, hey, y'all, he didn't say it just like that, but y'all, give them something to eat. The question is how? Where? Now here's our temptation. We get so earthly minded that we forget that we have in the person of Jesus Christ everything we need. We get so earthly minded that we forget that we have the complete, inerrant, infallible Word of God that will meet your need and guide your path and help you in life. And like the disciples, we begin to get a little bit nervous because the sun is beginning to set on our situation. And like the disciples, we begin to get a little bit nervous and wring our hands because the provisions aren't what we imagine they need to be in order to take care of our need. And often, like the disciples, we have this idea that we need to send them away, or we need ourselves to step away from God and His Word and the church and the things of God because there's not what I need there. And Jesus reminds us very vividly and accurately, they need not depart. Folks, I want you to know something. There is never a reason to part from Jesus Christ. There's never a reason to depart from the Word of God. There's never a reason to separate yourself from God and His blessing. Because when you do, you have separated yourself from God and His blessing. Jesus says, they need not depart. Give ye them to eat. That's our message today. It's titled simply this, Give Ye Them to Eat. God wanted to use his disciples. God wanted to prove himself faithful. And God used a trying time to do just that. He looks at his disciples. He says, Give ye them to eat. Now, I'm just a practical kind of guy. And I like to think about what really needed to take place. The Bible says that at the end of the day, that Jesus fed 5,000 men, and he fed all of their wives and children. It is very reasonable to think that Jesus fed 15,000, maybe more. I thought it was kind of interesting to think about it for a minute. Do you know, if you were to, we have here just a simple provision. There were five loaves and two fishes that Jesus fed those people with. I want to think in cattle for just a minute. What would it take to feed these people? If you wanted to give, if you had 1,000-pound steer and you ground him up, hooves and hide, every ounce of him, turned him into hamburger, it wouldn't taste very good, but if you did, if you ground 1,000-pound steer up and fed all these people, all just the men would get a 3-ounce burger. I don't know about you, but that just doesn't satisfy what I want. I was thinking about it. I thought, well, if there were 15,000 people there, how many beefs would it take? I mean, if you ground the ribeyes up, isn't that a shame? You ground the filet mignon up, oh, that's even worse. Ground the sirloins and the roast, and you ground them all the beef you get off of a big beef. How many beefs would it take to feed all these people a quarter pounder? I'm not talking about McDonald's because they got other stuff in theirs probably. But an all beef, quarter pounder for all 15,000 of them, you're looking at 7.5 beefs, every drop of them ground into quarter pounders. Everybody gets a quarter pounder if we've got 7.5 beefs. But you know what Jesus did? Jesus did what he can always do and what only he can do. He turned meager, small, inadequate into bounty. And I'm reminded of this, that I don't have all the answers. And I don't have all the strength. And I don't have all the wisdom. And I don't have what it takes to be used of God to minister to a multitude of people. And you don't either. But I serve a living God who does. And if I will give him my lunch, he can turn it into something that will nourish the masses. And he'll do the same for you. The disciples, send them away. What we have is not enough. Jesus, they need not depart. Give ye them to eat. I don't know about you, but I want to be the kind of Christian who is willing to give of myself so that others can experience the blessing of Almighty God. The first thing we see, number one, is compassion. It's compassion. The Bible says in verse number 12, that his disciples, the disciples of John, came and took up the body and buried it, the body of John the Baptist, and went and told Jesus. Now, Jesus, we see him here at the very beginning of this passage of Scripture, that he is a man of compassion and he has a burden and a willingness to help. You can always come to Christ in your time of need. I can tell Jesus all of my troubles. The old spiritual song was, nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Nobody knows but Jesus. Jesus wants to hear. He's a man of compassion. He's a God of love. The Bible says that he is touched with the feelings of your infirmities. The things that burden you burden Jesus. And when you take them to the throne of grace and you give them to him in prayer, he cares about you. Isn't it wonderful to know that Jesus cares? I know he cares. Jesus cares. He's a man of compassion. The Bible says in verse 13, when Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion towards them, and he healed their sick. Now, we understand the context of Scripture. The disciples are tired. Jesus is tired, so tired that he says, look, guys, we need to come apart for a time. This is not a message against rest, and we need to use wisdom to rest and take care of ourselves. We have one temple and one life, and we should take care of it. But Jesus, in this moment, he teaches us something, and he expresses something to us that even in our moments of tiredness, that we can rest in the Lord, and our compassion and our burden and our willingness to be a servant of God should be more important than our feeling and our schedule. Now, Jesus says, all right, we're going to get in the boat, and we're going to go to a desert place, and we're going to get apart. Someone said it like this, you need to come apart before you come apart. And Jesus said with his disciples, we're going to go to a desert place, and we're going to come apart a while. Jesus, having perfect understanding, knew what was going to happen. But the reaction of the disciples was very important. Now, Jesus comes in our passage of Scripture, and he goes out, and the people have followed him on foot. Now, it's silly and it's crazy to think what these people have done. These people have taken off on foot following Jesus into a desert place. They did not come with the proper provisions. They did not come with the proper care. They were sick. They were lost. They were needy. And at the end of the day, they were hungry. And it would have been easy for Jesus and easy for the disciples to look down their nose and say, hey, you bunch of towheads, what are you thinking? Coming to a desert place, you're going to get hungry. They had their wives and kids out in the desert. It was silly. How many of you ever done anything silly? I have. Amen. I'm glad when I've made silly mistakes that God has been willing to show compassion on me. They were silly, but God showed them compassion. And Jesus, looking at this group of people, as ill-prepared as they were, how did he respond? I need some rest. I'm tired. Go away. No, the Bible says that he was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. He was moved with compassion. He healed their sick. Jesus' reaction was compassion. Now, I know that God gives us opportunities to serve him that are less than perfect. The situation is less than perfect. The time of day is less than perfect. The season of life is less than perfect. But I want to encourage you to do something. When God gives you an opportunity to help somebody, do not be like the disciples and say, go away. I can't help you. Be like Jesus and say, they have no need to depart. Give you them to eat. You see, we need to have compassion. If we begin to have a burden for other people more than we have for ourselves, guess what happens? Those moments when it's inconvenient to be a blessing, we begin to capitalize on them. And in spite of the inconvenience, we say, with God's help, I'm going to do the work that he's called me to do. Oh, so many times in 20 years of preaching and ministering and counseling, the phone never seems to ring between 8 and 5, Monday through Friday. And a long time ago, I'm thankful that God gave me the right spirit about it and a faithful wife who understands and is willing to go along with the schedule. Because I found out that God gives you opportunities in the middle of the night. God gives you opportunities early in the morning. God gives you chances and the privilege to minister when it is not convenient for you. But it is always right to not turn people away and come to them and ask God to help you. There's been many times that I've pillowed my head at night and I've prayed a prayer like this. Lord, I don't have enough time to sleep tonight. Will you please multiply my rest? And I've seen God over and over and over again meet the need. And there's times when you have to leave vacation to go help somebody else out, but I've seen God over and over and over again provide something better a little bit later. Rest in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Serve him. And God calls on all of us to serve him. Do you know why we don't want to serve God? Because it's inconvenient. Do you know why God's not moving in your family and in your home? Because you're waiting for a convenient time to put Jesus first. It's never convenient. It shouldn't be convenient. Jesus should be first. God should be first in your life. And you should care about others more than yourself. That's the spirit of Christ. And I'll just tell you something. The selfishness that we have and that we hold on to that keeps us from serving God is the very thing that makes us so miserable that we don't even want to live sometimes. But if you'll become generous with your life and generous with yourself and generous with your influence and the opportunities that God gives you, instead of saying, it's getting late, we don't have enough, go away. You'll be like Christ and say, hey, don't send them away. Let's give them something to eat. We don't know how we're going to do it, but we know God can do it. Compassion. Compassion. Why were they able to see God do such a great work? Compassion. May God help us to have compassion. Number two, they need not depart. Give you them to eat. Number two, provision. Look what the disciples saw. What they saw was reasonable. The Bible says in verse 15, when it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, this is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals. And if you wonder, are you saying that right? I am, actually. Us Southerners, we got it right. Victuals. Granny Clampett had it right. She was all the time fixing victuals, right? And she said that right. It looks like victuals, but you pronounce it victuals. And Granny Clampett was right about at least one thing. I can't vouch for anything else, but she said it right. Victuals. Now, here's what's going on. The disciples are being reasonable in the fact that they're looking at the time and it's evening. They're considering the fact that they're at a desert place. And they say, look, if we're going to feed them, we've got to send them away. We've got to send them away. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. Sending them away was not the answer. And in this passage of Scripture, here's what the folks were depending on. They said, look, it's too little. We're in a desert place. We don't have enough. How many of you have ever thought, I'd like to serve the Lord, but I just don't have enough? Or I'd like to serve the Lord, but I just don't have enough time. Or it's a little too late. Or I've sinned and I've done so poorly for all these years that, I mean, I'm in the desert. I can't serve God. Well, that's a lie from the devil. And if you have one more day to live, you ought to serve God with it. And if you have 10 more years to live, you ought to serve God with it. And you should disregard the past. Once you've confessed it, it is forgiven in Christ. It is cast as far as the east is from the west. And your opportunity, the mercies of God are new every morning. Today, start serving Jesus. The devil beat you down about the past. Jesus wants to bless you and use you today. And they said, it's too late. We don't have enough. It's too little. And look what they thought. Here's what the disciples thought. And I don't like it, but we're bound to do it. They said, we're inadequate. So what did they do? They said, send the multitude away that they may go into the villages. Now, what is the disciples doing? The disciples are saying, hey, look, I'm sorry, Jesus, let's tell the multitude that what we have to offer is insufficient. And so, therefore, they're going to have to go to the villages to get what they need. Now, I don't believe I'm taking extra liberty with this passage of Scripture, but we are so tempted. We get to a situation, we think, man, I just don't know that church and God and Jesus and the Word of God is sufficient for this. Maybe we should send them to the world. Jesus' word to you and me is, give ye them to eat. Don't send them away. Feed them. Feed them. We have an all-sufficient Savior and an all-sufficient Bible. And God will help. And God will feed them. And God will use you. They said, let's send them to the villages. Oh, my God, help us not to do that. He says, let's send them to the villages because there they can buy themselves victuals. What did they think? They said, well, let them fend for themselves. I'll just let you know something. In regarding all things spiritual, you and I cannot fend for ourselves. My sin separates me from God. And the best I have to offer is rottenness and it's wickedness and it's sin. But Jesus Christ is all sufficient and He will provide. I can't provide for myself. You see, the provision was their great concern. Look what they say. The Bible says in verse number 17, and they say unto him, we have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. We have here but. You hear the faithlessness in the word? We have here, but all we have is five loaves and two. It's almost like they were being ridiculous. It's like, you know, I want a new Ferrari. Hey, look, wait, whoa. I got $5. Yeah, we can do it. They were being silly. And Jesus says, I'll show you something. I'll show you something spectacular. I'll show you something wonderful. God can take something insignificant, like five loaves and two fishes, and he can do something amazing. And I'll just let you know something. As far as provision is concerned, you think, I'm too little, I'm too late, I'm too far gone, I'm not capable. I'll just have you know something. God can take something very little and do something very great. He's proved it over and over and over and over again. It just boils down to one thing. He wants you to have a spirit that says, I'm not sending them away. I'm not sending them away. We'll give them something to eat. We'll be used of God. What little I have is God's, and I'll trust God with it to do great things. Provision. Number three, blessing. Blessing. The Bible says in verse 18, he said, regarding the five loaves and two fishes, bring them hither to me. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass and took the five loaves and the two fishes. What did he say? He said, here, bring them to me. By the way, anything that you bring to God, he will bless. Anything you give to him, you give him your life. Young people, you give Jesus your life and your influence, he'll bless it. He'll do something with it greater than you could ever imagine. Old people, you give Jesus the days that you have, and he'll bless it and do something great with it. Jesus says, I understand that it's just five loaves and two fish, but you bring it to me. You bring it to me, and I'll take it. Look at the Bible says in verse number 18, 19, and he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass and took the five loaves and two fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed. What did Jesus do? Jesus did something that we cannot ever forget. He had five loaves and two fishes. Where did the five loaves and two fishes come from? Heaven. Let me remind you of something. We have nothing that God didn't give us. You say, I can go down to McDonald's and buy a cheeseburger. You can't grow the wheat. You can't produce the seed to grow the wheat to make the bun. You can't produce the seed that made the calf that turned into the steer. And if you could, you couldn't manage the sky and the clouds and the weather that gives it water and the sun that rotates around the earth that gives it life. Where's everything we got come from? Heaven. Jesus says, hey, look, it's just a few fish and a few loaves of bread, but it all came from heaven. It's all a gift from God. You think about this for just a minute. I'll tell you how fragile we are and how dependent we are on God. God, with just a thought, can stop the rain. Then what we got? Then what we got? Hey, every time it rains, you ought to thank God because everything we have comes from heaven. Every time you breathe a breath of air, you ought to thank God because everything you have came from heaven. We should work hard and we should earn and we should be responsible and we should be diligent, but we must never forget that we have a privilege to operate in this universe that God created and God is in control of, and anything he's put in my hand, it's come from his. He looked to heaven. He said, hey, and we're going to bless this. The scripture says in verse number 19, he took the five loaves and two fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke and gave the loaves to his disciples and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat and were filled. How'd this work? It's so wonderful to me to think about. It started with, in other passages, we understand that this came from someone's lunch, a little lad's lunch. And God took that gift from someone, and it was in the hands of Christ, and he broke it, And then he handed it to his disciples. And his disciples distributed it. It's a beautiful thing, the work of the ministry. The work of working in lives of other people. You see, God blessed and broke something that was given to him. And then the disciples had the opportunity to distribute. And you know, folks, what a glorious privilege we have. We're not the originator of salvation. We're not the originator of hope. But we have the privilege of taking what Jesus hands us and gives us in our personal devotion to Him. And we have the opportunity to share it with other people. I wonder, how many of you are sharing the love of Christ with the people you come in contact with? He's given it to you. You ought to make this a practice. You ought to take what you hear here on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, and you ought to give it to somebody else. This should not be the end of it. This shouldn't be the end all of this truth. You should take what God speaks to your heart with, and the first chance you get, God's blessed and He's given it to you. You ought to just give it to somebody else. Man, if we'd start doing that, it'd change the world. You see, the blessing comes from God. The conclusion is this. The Bible says they did all eat. They did all eat. Had they been sent away that day? Had they been sent away that day and they'd gone into the villages and bought for themselves? There's a good chance they wouldn't have all ate. There's a really good chance that they wouldn't have all been filled. And folks, it's just a picture of our very best effort and the very best that the world has to offer. Good intention. It does not fill them up. It does not make them satisfied. It does not satisfy the hunger of our soul. But God always does. Christ is our sufficiency. And they were all filled up. I keep thinking about this little lad's lunch, because when I look at a passage of Scripture, I think, what is it that I can do? What is it that I can do? Well, I can identify with this lunch. It was little, insignificant, insufficient, but it became available. Can you imagine if it was a little lad that brought this lunch that day? Can you imagine him saying, here's what I've got, and going home and telling his mama that story? Hey, Mom, you know that lunch you fixed me? And I can hear her saying, you know, I'm sorry, that's all we had. I know it wasn't much, but what about it? He said, I gave it to Jesus. Yeah, I know you're starving. You got to be starving today. Oh, no, I'm full to the brim. You got to be starving today. Oh, no, I'm full to the brim. I gave my lunch to Jesus, and you'll never guess what Jesus did with my lunch. Jesus took my lunch and lifted it up to heaven, blessed it, and my lunch fed 5,000 men and their wives and children. And you won't get this. My lunch, when everybody got full, the disciples went around and took up 12 baskets full. There's a bunch of people going to eat my lunch again tomorrow. He said, I gave my lunch to Jesus. And you won't believe what Jesus can do with a little boy's lunch. Folks, we hold on to our lives and our schedules. We hold on to our energy. We hold on to what God has blessed us with. And we hold it tight and we get mad when someone tries to take it away. And we miss out on what God wants to do. And we say, I can't help you. Go away. I can't do that. Go away. I can't be that. Go away. And God says, hey, wait. Give ye them to eat. Take what you have and give it to Jesus. And watch Jesus do what only He can do with a life that's yielded to Him. I gave Him my lunch. And I'm sure glad I did. What a mighty God we serve. Oh, determine this week to serve Jesus, to serve others, to be the distributor of God's blessing as he's blessed you. Let's pray.